Rick, the report that you've just released is called Alberta's Natural Subregions Under a Changing Climate, Past, Present, and Future. Who commissioned the report and why?
This report is part of a larger study that's underway right now at the University of Alberta, looking at how we can adapt to climate change here in Alberta. There are groups that are looking at terrestrial change. There's a group working on water and another group working specifically on trees. And so this is a bit of a foundational report that I put together, looking at what do the climate projections for Alberta actually look like, and what can we conclude about the responses of vegetation to those changes in climate.
And let's start then with a snapshot. What have you concluded in terms of how Alberta will change, given how climate is going to change in the future?
Well, at the courses level, I can say that we're looking at certainly a warmer future, and with increased temperatures, there's a drying effect that goes on, and that will result in the drying of the soils compared to where they are today, even though we may get a touch more precipitation in the future. But the real focus of the report was to drill down into a little bit more detail, because there isn't, you know, we don't have a single projection of the future climate. There are many different models, and they don't all give the same response. And in fact, it depends a fair bit in terms of what we do as a society. I mean, if we get our climate emissions under control in the near term, that will lead to much less warming in the future than if we keep on with business as usual and emissions keep climbing every year. In that case, we're looking at some of the worst case of climate warming, and you know the difference between those two futures is quite large.
Well, what exactly did you look at? The report does say past, present, and future.
We had a look at both what happened in the, they call it the hypsothermal. It's a period about 6,000 years ago when the Earth, was particularly North America, was about 2 to 3 degrees warmer than it is today. And we had a look at the future. Now, the reason why we didn't just look at the future was that the future is all based on model projections. And, you know, there's uncertainty, as I said, related to those. We wanted to validate it as much as we could by having this natural experiment that happened 6,000 years ago, when the Earth was warmer. In that case, in the past, we have data in the form of pollen that dropped into lake sediments, and today that pollen record can be read and give you an indication of what grew in every location where the studies have taken place, basically back to the time of glaciation. And what we found was that under that 2 to 3 degree warming of that hypsothermal period, most of our ecosystems, they shifted north by about one subregion. In other words, the grasslands moved into what today is the parkland. The area around Edmonton is the parkland, and the parkland, which is around here, then shifted into the boreal forest and so on. And in the mountains, everything moved uphill. So that provides a little bit of a validation in respect to the climate models, which basically also agree that in the least change scenario, we're going to see a shifting of all the ecosystems by about one ecosystem north. And if the warming goes beyond that, as I say, in some of the worst case scenarios, it'll be quite a bit more of an increase. So let me put that into specific numbers. Under the least change scenario, we're looking at about 2 degrees warming relative today. And when I say 2 degrees, that means 2 degrees over the whole province, or temperature averaged across the whole province, summer and winter, night and day. And to put that into perspective, the difference between Calgary and Fort McMurray is about 3 degrees. So even though it doesn't seem like very much, 2 degrees, you know, doesn't seem like it would matter that much, but really it's a huge difference in terms of what will grow and what we can expect as far as ecosystems in the future. And that's under the least case scenario. In other words, all the models suggest that it's going to warm by at least 2 degrees. If you average all the models, it's somewhere closer to 4 degrees. And some of the worst case scenarios, you know, we really are unable to contain our emissions, and you know, that really goes to the worst case, we're looking at over 6 degrees of warming, which would put a grassland like a Medicine Hat kind of climate up in the north part of Wood Buffalo Park.
Looking back at this 6,000 to 8,000 years ago, what's the difference between what was happening then and what's happening now? Like today we're concerned about carbon emissions. What was happening back then?
The reason that the temperatures were warmer then, it has to do with the glacial cycles. 10,000 years ago is when the last glaciation here in Alberta came to a close. You'd think that would be the warmest period, but actually, because there was a lot of ice on the ground, it actually takes a while until the temperature reaches a peak. Just like right now, the longest day is in June, but that's not the warmest temperatures. You have to wait to July and August till the Earth, you know, heats up and you get the hottest days. So that's what happened. Glaciation came to a close around 10,000 years ago. That's when we had the most sunlight, but it took another couple thousand years until the temperatures hit the peak. And ever since then, we've been cooling. And we're on our way to the next ice age. Were it not for the carbon emissions that we've been putting into the air, so I suppose you could look at that as a good news story. We have, by our actions, averted the next ice age, which would have been coming probably in 3,000 to 5,000 years from now. But I mean, there is obviously a downside because the rate of change is so quick and so extreme. It's the pace of change that really is the issue here.
One of the things that you said in your report is that climate during the summer growing season is the most important ecologically. What did you mean by that?
Right. So Alberta is a cold weather part of the world, and anything that lives here has to have a way of dealing with the winter. So if an animal can migrate, it will leave, it will hibernate if it needs to, and the plants will generally go dormant, right? The deciduous trees lose their leaves and so on. So the winter, ecologically, is not as important as the summer because most everything is shut down during that period. It's when the spring comes and everything comes back to life that the ecological growth and change all happens. So if you have a great difference in temperature during the summer, and especially it's the drying, it's soil moisture that's really the important thing for determining whether you have a grassland or a parkland or a boreal forest. More than anything else, it's the amount of moisture that you have in the ground, at least for Alberta here. It's the most important thing. So with increased warming and increased drying of the soils during the summer is where we're going to see the big effects as far as the ecology.
What is it that really stands out for you having done this review?
I suppose the most dramatic changes will be visible in the boreal forest. I mean, all of Alberta will be affected. The warming occurs, you know, throughout the province. It's a little bit, perhaps, more warming in the north, but not a lot. So all the ecosystems are going to shift. The thing is, though, when you're talking about a grassland shifting, it's going to shift into a different kind of grassland. So in southern Alberta, we're going to go from our, what we call the dry mixed grass prairie, to what you see today in Montana under the least change scenario. So for the average person, you'll still see a grassland and probably won't notice a difference. Under a worst case scenario, you know, changes could be more dramatic, more like a Wyoming kind of a prairie, but still, you know, to the naked eye, it won't be immediately visible. But when you go to the north, there's a tipping point, somewhere around 3 degrees warming, where we would expect a transition from forest to grassland. Now, it's not that that's going to happen all at once, but once you get a climate that doesn't have enough moisture there anymore to support a forest, you'll see a transition. First, you'll lose the white spruce, and it is unable to regenerate without enough moisture there. So the aspen will hang in, and we'll see a transition from what we have as a mixed wood forest there today to a more uniform aspen forest throughout the north. And then if the warming progresses and given more time, especially under the worst case scenarios, even the aspen will begin to drop out and there'll be an expansion of grasslands. Now, what will happen is unclear because, as I said, it really depends on how much warming takes place, which in turn depends on, you know, how much more carbon goes into the air. So under the least case change, we would expect to see a transition from mixed wood to deciduous forest, but still have a forest in place in the north. But, you know, anything more than that, even the median scenarios and certainly the worst case scenarios, we're looking at the actual loss, progressive loss of trees, especially after fires and insect and disease losses and that kind of thing. You'll have a absence of regeneration, and over time patches will increase in size with without forest. And given enough time, you know, just think about it. If we have a grassland climate, why wouldn't we expect to have a grassland in the boreal? And so that's what we'll see eventually. I'll take more than 100 years, but that would be the eventual endpoint.
This is all being done within the context of adaptation. What are the implications then for government and for industry?
Right. Well, that's the whole reason behind the report. We're interested in what can we do, what should we do now in terms of facilitating adaptation. This report, that's a foundational document. It's meant to set the stage for these kinds of questions, which we're addressing in a second phase of the project, which is right now underway. So in other words, this report gives us a foundation in terms of what can we expect in terms of the climate for Alberta in the next 100 years, and secondly, goes into quite a lot of detail in terms of what can we expect in terms of how the vegetation is going to respond. What, you know, how is the grassland going to change? What are the species going to do, and so on. And with that knowledge in hand, now we can go to that second stage to say, okay, now what do we do about it, and what are our options, and you know, what's economically feasible, and so on. And as I said, that work is now underway.
Thank you very much, Rick.
You're very welcome.